We've all heard Arnold's classic one-liners like, I'll be back, and get to the chopper! But today, we may hear the best one of all. Rubble Baby Buggy Bumpers, because we're talking Last Action Hero!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Do we got that big guns? Yeah! I feel like my balls grow while I'm listening to this.
My balls have always been the same size. So
okay.
Just don't feel that way at all.
Just wait. Here we go. Ow! Anyways, oh, it's just so good. This is literally one of my favorite AC/DC songs written specifically for this movie. It's not my favorite AC/DC song written specifically for this movie. That means the only one.
I'm confused by your qualifications.
I meant out of all AC/DC songs, this is one of my favorites.
And it is also written as a separate thought.
It's a separate thought.
It is also
I just ran it all together.
My new favorite thing to do is to do an air instrument that isn't present in the song that's playing.
Like,
I have no idea if there's a keyboard in this song, actually.
Well, a little violin in here.
Yeah.
Some cello.
A triangle.
Some Yo-Yo Ma. Bing! Oh, kick it up here. I'm only playing the guitar like this so it fits in frame. I know guitars aren't played like
this. He doesn't know that.
I do. Anyways, all right, that's enough of that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I swear to God, I thought Josh and Steve, or me and Josh, or somebody at some point on this show when I wasn't here covered this. That's the only reason we have made the grave error of never talking about Last Action Hero until now. I had to scroll through, and I scrolled through like three times to make sure I wasn't just
that's thorough
messing up.
Don't ever say that Ben doesn't try.
I try.
Because that probably took at least 5 minutes.
Because, holy shit, man, this came out in 93. I was 11 years old. Little backstory, I wasn't raised like Amish and like super prude.
No, you watched porns about getting pizza.
But
everyone knows deep dish orgy.
It was a float.
Everyone knows that.
I don't think there's any pizza ever confirmed in that. I just remember a pool and a float. Anyways, but I was my parents wouldn't let me watch R-rated action movies or R-rated movies in general until I was like 16. Or 15, I saw Terminator 2 was my first one. But I remember since this was PG-13, I was allowed to see this. This is pretty violent for an 11-year-old to see.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, this is the coolest movie ever because it was funny. Bridget Wilson, I think, is her name in this.
What's her name in French? You'll probably find it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, this apparently is the Canadian release because it says, Le Dernier des Héros. And it says, Arnold Schwarzenegger, la superstar des films d'action rêve, l'écran d'Arthur Laurel. It's really...
This is what you guys come to us for, is
I'm pretty sure.
Movie synopsis.
Pretty sure. Anyway, so I was stoked on it. I loved it as a kid. It's basically my fantasy as a child of going to an action, and as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love it if I went to a Marvel or to Wonder Woman or any action movie that I love nowadays. The Expendables, and I'm sitting in the theater, and all of a sudden something pops out of the screen, and I'm like, oh, guys? And I'm the only one in there, and I get sucked into the movie, and suddenly, that would be amazing!
Yeah.
This is basically the reverse of Woody Allen's Purple Rose of Cairo, where Jeff Daniels comes out of the screen and falls in love with the woman who's in the theater.
Right.
It's basically the reverse. And then The Final Girls, which came out like a year or two ago, is basically the horror comedy version of this.
Also,
just dropping a whole bunch of useless knowledge right
Jumanji.
Now. Jumanji, yeah.
Is somewhat related.
Somewhat related.
Yeah,
anytime
they go into the board game, or the board game becomes
and the
immersive.
New one, they go into like a video game version of it.
Yeah.
Which sounds terrible, but the trailer looked really funny.
We'll see. Pending opinions.
Pending
new
opinions.
Jumanji.
Yes, yes, yes.
We'll
Anyways,
keep you updated week to week
so
on what we think of the new
Jesse
Jumanji.
Jesse has a confession to make. You've never seen this.
I still haven't seen it, so this show is going to be fascinating. No, I had never seen it.
Have you ever heard of it or knew anything about it at all?
I have heard of it, but didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm. So did it help when I prefaced, like, hey, it's kind of a parody action film?
Yeah, a little bit. It's this one, unlike other ones that we've covered, like Machete, I feel like didn't do a great job of, like, signaling their hand. Mm-hmm. But this one, like, right away, is very much like action genre tropes times a thousand, and we're amazing. Just going to jump into it.
It's amazing. Oh my God. So I think, what'd you think of it?
I really, really liked it. I think it did a great job of sort of winking at itself and knowing what it was and like having the appropriate amount of awareness and self-respect at the same time. It's always funny to me to see somebody make fun of themselves. I don't know, sometimes it goes too far, but like in this particular movie, I think it's so measured and so appropriate.
Yeah.
And like nothing's off color at all. He's just sort of, Schwarzenegger's just sort of like understanding how he and his movies are perceived.
Yep.
And does a great job of just poking the bear a little bit.
And what's even weirder to me is that I feel like this is one of his best performances. Because he shows comedic range. He has some cool dramatic moments. He's still badass. It's like, I mean, I know we'd seen Kindergarten Cop by now, and we knew he was funny in Twins and that, but this, like, for me, this is, like, one of my favorite Schwarzenegger movies, because you basically get every side of him in this movie.
Well, and also...
That you go to the movie, his movies for.
Sure, and also there's, like, just another level of, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but like he's basically spoofing himself, so you're not
taking it deadly serious, which is the best kind of spoof,
right, but you're not looking at his performance as a performance. It's more like sort of one step removed from his performance, so it's a little more acceptable, all the like quirks and stiffness and like, you know, whatever.
But
that
I would argue that he's less stiff in this. He's the loosest in this movie that I've seen in a lot of his work, where he's a lot looser.
I just wonder if he's actually looser or if it just feels that way because he's spoofing himself.
Maybe.
So I don't know.
The thing that I also love about this movie, that you brought up Machete, and I love Machete, but I think that this film is a parody of action films, but still has awesome action in it. And that was the thing that we talked about when we talked about Machete, is that the action is just kind of so goofy that I love Machete, but it's just kind of so goofy that it's not even badass anymore.
Yeah.
And this is badass. When that car chase scene where he like launches off the bridge and the other car falls and blows up and they're like just throwing dynamite sticks in the road, it's awesome.
Well, and also just like the casual downtime they fill with like sort of superfluous action, like when he's just driving down the highway and like cars are crashing behind him, there's just like stuff all the time. And like when he, every time he pulls up somewhere, he destroys some sort of property or like crashes cars or whatever.
That scene you're talking about when they're on the highway and the cars are crashing behind him, I thought it was spoofing how in all movies, when people are talking more than they're looking at the road, like clearly they would be running people off the road.
Yeah.
So I love that, because I always think that when you're watching a movie, and even as an actor, when you're in a scene and you're supposed to be talking to somebody, there is that in real life, you're pretty much just like, yeah, 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 unless you're an asshole.
Right.
But in movies, you're more like, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
like,
yeah,
they sometimes will hold eye contact with the passenger seat for
so
like
long.
A full 5 seconds. You're like, there's no way you didn't kill someone.
There's no way. But that's why in this one, it's hilarious. But anyways.
Yeah.
So let's do the plot in under 3 minutes, because holy hell, this is so great. And by the way, I was talking to some of the Twitter followers. I do actually have you can't probably see it, but the Last Action Hero soundtrack, I transferred it from CD to my iPod Touch, by the way. I still have an iPod Touch.
Good for you.
Because I'm old school.
Stay strong.
It's 16 gigs of awesomeness.
You're old school, like, is not even old school. It's just, like, obsolete.
It's super
recently
obsolete.
Modern technology. It's like CDs are kind of old school, but like, no, let me take it off my old school device and put it on something that
I guess,
like,
you're right.
One would ever revive.
If I brought a Discman in here, that would have been even better. Like with skip protection.
Ooh.
Remember that?
So you can go jogging?
Ooh.
You assumed that you could go jogging, but you couldn't. Like it wasn't that much skip protection.
That was the worst, because I remember switching from selling my Walkman and getting which half our audience doesn't know what the hell we're talking about right now.
Look it up.
But getting,
fucking Google it,
getting,
audience.
Getting a Discman and
aggressive.
That was super aggressive.
I feel protective over Discman. Go ahead.
I remember getting one, and the first one I had skipped when I was playing it in the car, because I still had a cassette player in the car, and you get like that other cassette that was wired that you would plug it into the cassette player in your car and then plug that into your Discman. And then the disc would skip all over the place.
Yep.
And then you get skip protection, basically meant that the CD attached super hard to the middle section.
Mm-hmm.
Which still didn't help if the entire thing
was.
So if you're in a car. Anyways, we're old. I'm old. You're younger still. Anyways, let's do the plot in under 3 seconds. How's that? There we go. And Arnold's in it, and he shoots stuff. That's it. 3 minutes.
3 seconds.
Ready?
Can you adjust our time to 3 seconds? Thank you.
Whenever you're ready in the booth, we'll count it down. In
or 3 hours.
Oh, God. Not again. Tell me. Okay, here we go. Whenever you're ready, count it down. Oh, God. Okay, so we start off. Arnold's walking on top of cars. There's a hostage situation going on. The chief, Slater, yelling at him. He crushes a walkie-talkie after saying, "You want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres." He goes up there. His son's hostage. The film gets out of focus. You realize it's Danny watching it in the movie theater. He goes, "Nick!" He goes up to his buddy Nick up there, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's out of focus. There's a homeless guy trying to sleep." He finds out there's going to be a midnight screening of Jack Slater 4 that only he's going to be invited to because he knows the movie owner. He goes home to his mom.
He goes home to his mom, and his mom makes sure that he stays home because they live in apparently the worst neighborhood in the history of the world. Like, you open the door, and immediately someone comes in to rob your house.
Which scared the shit out of me when I was
right,
a kid.
Right, so that happens. So the guy goes in. He realizes there's nothing there. But now Danny has access to a handcuff key. So he goes to the police. The police are like, "All right, we'll look into it. Go ahead home. Go straight home." Instead, he goes to the movie theater to see this.
Jack Slater 4. Yep. And he's watching it, and he's like, "You're gonna pay." And he gets to see a little bit of the bad guy set up with Benedict.
And his friend gives him the magic ticket.
Magic ticket. Houdini's ticket.
Yeah.
And so the ticket starts getting electricity, and a stick of dynamite comes out during one of the chase scenes, and he's like, "Nick!" Oh, it blows up. He ends up in the backseat of Jack Slater's car. Car chase happens. He starts saying, "Listen, it's a movie. It's a movie." Jack Slater's like, "Yeah, whatever. I don't believe you." They go to the police station. There's people being partnered up with an overweight partner and a skinny one, and then a cartoon cat and a regular one, and then a digitized Humphrey Bogart and a regular. It just gets crazy. And they go around looking for drug dealers. He says, "Look, I can tell you where the house is." His second cousin Frank dies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Gets blown up. And the kid says, "I know where he was." So he says, "That's the house right there."
So they go in, and now the bad guy knows they're onto him. Okay.
While it's killing drug dealers, are they in the house?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And so the bad guy knows they're onto him, and then he follows him home. We are introduced to Jack Slater's daughter, Bridget Wilson, and then him and Danny's kind of crushing our skeezy. Was supposed to be kissed. Instead, it's Danny. It'll make sense later. They blow up the house. It was his ex-wife's house. Jack Slater's really mad. Benedict knows about it. There's a chicken with Danny in the bike and Benedict, and then he flies off. And
so the bad guy gets the ticket. He goes back to the real world. So Danny takes Arnold back to the real world also, where he starts to play by movie rules and realize that he can get hurt.
Yeah.
They start looking for the bad guy. Oh shit! They start looking for the bad guy, but he's gone into other movies and he's taken villains.
The Ripper from Jack Slater 3.
So they go to the movie premiere. The Ripper is there, and
they're gonna kill Arnold. So there's no more Jack Slater.
Yep. And then Arnold falls down off the building. Right. Danny falls off the building.
Arnold saves him. They kill Benedict. They end up back in the movie. Jack Slater lives! Whew, that's hard. I've seen this movie like 12 times, and it was still really hard to do.
And I just want to reiterate, I haven't seen this yet. So that was incredibly impressive.
That was just you making it up.
Very impressive.
I appreciate that.
My part.
Let's get into this, because we got you got a hard out of 5, right?
Not hard, but
ish?
Yeah, ish.
Okay, let us know when it's 505-ish or whatever. Okay, so... first off, that opening shot where just Arnold's sweet-ass boots come walking in on top of every cop car that's just gotten mowed down by the Ripper.
There are, like, I would say upwards of 100 cop cars there.
Yep, just walks across all of them. And then we get one of his first amazing one-liners where the chief's yelling at him. He throws him the badge. It's every cliche from a 90s action movie, 80s and 90s action movie ever in this movie, and it's so funny. Which is hilarious that I understood this as a kid, having not seen any of these movies. But I remember being like, "Ha! Like, I think it's such a spot-on comedy with these moments that, like, you can get it even if you haven't seen every single, like, the 2 days to retirement. That's a Lethal Weapon nod. But even if you hadn't seen Lethal Weapon, you've seen a movie sometime where a cop was about to retire and gets killed.
Sure.
So, anyways, first sound clip number one, please.
"You want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres."
He kicks a guy square in the nuts and launches him in the air. Oh,
is acres a known euphemism for for nuts? Is that what he's saying there?
I think he was just saying how far he was going to launch him. Because he says, you want to be a farmer, here's a couple of acres, and then he launches him in the air. I get that you're probably being nitpicky that there was not even 1 acre
I'm
that
not,
he got kicked.
I'm not even nitpicking. I'm literally just cute because I've never heard anyone say that. So I didn't know if that's what he was referring to, if he was
I think it was just made up.
It's just a random reference. Cool.
Like rubber baby yeah. buggy bumpers. Yeah. So he should we even do the can we play it again just because I love it that much?
You want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres.
You know, my cousin actually moved to Indiana from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd saved up a good amount of money, so he wasn't sure.
Good for him.
He wasn't sure what kind of house he could get in like rural Indiana, and he went there and he looked at a house and he was like, okay, I'll buy the house. And they're like, do you need to have any kind of farmland? Do you have any livestock and stuff? Mm-hmm. He's like, I could do that. I've always thought of being a farmer. And they're like, well, you're in luck.
You want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres.
He's like, wait, I don't just get the house, I get all these acres?
Yeah, all these acres.
That would be really surprising if that happened in California. You're lucky if you get 3 feet.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was an insurance agent for State Farm,
mm-hmm.
and he was not super happy there. He wants to go out on his own, a little like smaller company, not as corporate. Mm-hmm. And he, from what he understood, like, the longer you'd been at a company, the more wet and breath,
mm-hmm.
breath, width yep. and breath
like that.
Of the city you get to cover.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so he was just starting out at this new company, Farmers Insurance.
Yeah.
And the person who ushered him in said this to him.
You want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres.
Because at Farmers Insurance, they call all of their employees farmers.
They're farmers. Yeah. It is Farmers Insurance.
It is. You know, it's like, what is it, Farmers Only, that dating website?
Yeah,
all for farmers?
It's all for farmers.
And it's like super hot girls that are like all on like rodeo bulls and stuff. Like, I want to date somebody who understands what I'm into.
Well, you clearly have spent a lot of time on Farmers Only. I don't know a single thing about it.
Seen a commercial. You guys look up a commercial for Farmers Only.
Right after you Google Walkman. But
Watchmen, Walkman.
No, let me know what you think about Pixels.
Fuck you and your Pixels.
Yeah, little known
fact. We got to cover Pixels on here eventually.
I don't want to. About Farmers Only Farmers Insurance is that they don't insure farmers. They call their employees farmers.
Yeah, of course.
So I just wanted to make that clear before we moved on.
So I love that there's the square off with the Ripper. The Ripper's kind of a creepy villain, you mm-hmm. know? Played by, what is his name? I forget. He was a pretty well-known actor, and he still does stuff. He's a character actor. Damn it. Something I'll figure it out later. I need to write this stuff down, but it's a creepy scene. It has kind of a dark opening where his son's being held hostage, and there's this you don't know what happens because it goes out of focus. We find out it's all a movie. Nick goes to school because he's 4 hours late. He just goes to the movies all the time, so he's kind of like me in my life now, where I should be writing or doing something productive, but instead I'm just always watching movies.
You know that as a human, an empathetic human being watching these movies, I always have concern for small businesses and how they stay open. What the fuck is this movie theater doing?
With just a homeless guy and a kid.
And the kid apparently is the only person ever in this theater.
That's why it's closing down. Remember, there's a sign out front that says there's a multiplex coming in.
I mean, like, they maybe should have gone with a smaller auditorium. Fewer seats.
It had been around for decades.
Good God.
It was an allegory for the death of the uniplex, or whatever you call it, the singleplex movie theater.
Yeah, well,
and a multiplex.
I mean, maybe have an event there, do a concert of some sort.
Do a just car to wash.
Like, yeah.
So he goes to class, and the teacher there, starts talking about Laurence Olivier's Hamlet, mm-hmm. and the kids are all laughing because it's black and white and silly, and he starts daydreaming that it's an action movie with Arnold in it, and I would watch the shit out of this version of Hamlet.
Yeah.
So Arnold's riding up on his horse after he's killed Claudius, he's killed all these other bad guys, machine guns firing in black and white, but just the muzzle flare is in color. And then this is his last line as he lights a cigar and everything blows up. Can we play clip number 2?
To be or not to be. Not to be.
So awesome! I would watch the shit out of that.
I would watch Arnold do any sort of Shakespeare.
Can we please have an Arnold Shakespeare movie? Can we please have an Arnold Hamlet?
I would even watch just Arnold do a Shakespeare reading.
I would watch that too.
I would watch it on grainy YouTube. I would not. I wouldn't even.
Grainy. You don't even need HD.
I wouldn't even fight for the HD.
No. Nope.
If it was like coming in and skipping, my cable that's was down
much,
or something
that's
like that.
That's how much you want to see
I would still
Arnold. Yep.
Watch it.
So Houdini's Magic Ticket. There's all this myth behind it that Nick builds up. And he rips it in half, and neither of them notice that like electricity comes out. Maybe they're just used to static electricity on the old carpet or something. So they're
must
like, no, that's it.
Yeah.
So he goes in the theater. The dynamite stick comes out. Jack Slater's favorite second cousin gets killed, and I love all of Benedict's glass eyes.
I love my favorite part was the like spoon holder that he has all his glass eyes in that we see later in his house. It's just like a tree with spoons coming out of it, and just probably
so good.
25 glass eyes.
He has a smiley face. He has a bullseye. He has all kinds of weird glass eyes.
Yeah.
But the point where he takes out his glass eye, I swear his other eye is still there. They like forgot to remove it.
Yeah,
they're just like nah.
It's not important.
Fuck it. That's digital stuff we don't have
money
for.
It's a movie.
It's a movie and a movie.
So, like, Last Action Hero didn't forget to take it out.
The movie did. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, Jack Slater 4 forgot to take it out.
Yeah.
So there's, he ends up in the car chase with Big Guns playing, which we played in the beginning, my favorite AC/DC song that was written specifically for this movie. running those thoughts together again. I love the Chuck and Dynamite cars are blowing up left and right. My favorite, I don't know why I didn't grab this. I'm so mad I didn't grab the sound clip where an ice cream truck blows up, where a guy gets launched from the red pickup thing that's chasing Jack and Danny. He gets launched into an ice cream truck. It blows up just from his impact. And then another guy gets hit in the back of the head with an ice cream cone, and it stabs him in the back of the head, and he falls down. And Arnold says, "Ice that guy." Kona phrase. It's the greatest. I don't know why I didn't pull that.
Do you want to go home real quick? And
I do.
It?
Can we? Yeah.
Should we pause?
But this action scene's fucking badass. That's the thing for spoofs. Usually they skimp on the action, and the ice cream truck. There's a part where a black van comes up and it opens the door, and there's a Gatling gun in it.
Yeah.
And then he launches off the bridge, and Danny boots. And can we play? This is a life lesson from Jack Slater right here. Clip number 3.
I booted. Sorry. I thought I was
going to
die.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're going to live to enjoy all the glorious fruits life has to offer. Acne, shaving, premature ejaculation, and your first divorce.
Pretty bleak look.
By the way, all those four things are completely related.
Yeah.
That was like a string of events.
Yeah.
That happened to Arnold.
Acne.
Yep.
Shaving.
Yep.
Premature ejaculation,
yep.
Which then leads to your first divorce.
Your first divorce.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's the circle of life,
it's
if anyone's
circle
wondering.
Circle of life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That,
so,
by the way, was my favorite Elton John song made specifically for The Lion
specifically
King.
Specifically for The Lion King. Yep. I think it's funny, though, because I'm pretty sure my dad gave me a similar talk around the time that we were learning sex ed in school.
Okay.
Because, like, my parents were really weird about talking about any of that stuff with me. So, like, I was such an awkward kid because I didn't know anything about it. And I remember the talk pretty much went just like, do you know what sex is? Yeah. Do you have any questions? No. Okay, that's it. And I'm like, well, Dad, what do I have to look forward to? You know, like, what does adolescence have for me? And he basically just said...
I voted sorry. I thought I was
going
to die.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're going to live to enjoy all the glorious fruits life has to offer. Acne, shaving, premature ejaculation, and your first divorce.
Which he assumed would happen in your adolescence.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
All of that in my adolescence.
Your dad
had
interesting hopes for you.
Yeah.
I was going to say hi, but I don't think those are high hopes. I think those are middling hopes.
It's a really hard one to improv around. So anyway, I mean, tell true stories around.
Right.
So the car chase, there's... I love the chicken that they do at the end, where they're in the alley, and they play chicken with the bad guys, and the bad guys freak out and turn, crash into the world's weirdest model shoot ever, where they're all in, like... strange 60s sci-fi leather and almost thongs, and then the one guy gets chucked in the trash can. And I love as they leave, he lights the dynamite and then throws it in there and blows up the last guy.
Yeah,
oh, God, I love this movie.
This
so
was
much.
a similar model scene to the Spider-Man 3 one.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, they're randomly in the tower.
But at least this was a spoof.
And the scaffolding. Yeah.
At least this was a spoof. I love what, so we talked about the cartoon cat. There's some great cameos in here. Sharon Stone shows up from Basic Instinct. We got Robert Patrick as the T-1000. Yeah, I forgot one gets partnered up with a rabbi. There's a rabbi and a cop.
Yeah.
And then there the cartoon cat, Whiskers.
Who comes into work every day.
He'll be here tomorrow. Yeah. He comes to work just like he did every day.
What's your point?
And then F. Murray Abraham shows up and he's like, Jack, don't trust him. That guy killed Mozart. Mo who? Because I'll never forget, though, I got that reference as a kid because they showed us Amadeus in my music class in grade school. And Amadeus, not only does it have kind of gratuitous nudity, it also has some gross stuff with when Mozart's being poisoned. And I remember Salieri, played by F. Murray Abraham, towards the end, like he tries to kill himself and there's like blood everywhere. And I remember being horrified by this
Jesus
as a kid
Christ.
And being like, how did this guy get away with it?
And how was this? How are you watching this in elementary school?
I don't know, because then another teacher tried to show us Return of the Killer Tomatoes with George Clooney, and there's like the outline of boobs for a second, and she panicked, took it out of the VCR, and put on Black Beauty instead. Like those were her two choices.
That's what she had with her.
It was a horse movie or Return of the? She's probably like, oh, George Clooney. I heard this. He's on ER. I love Meet the ER.
I love tomatoes.
I love tomatoes. They're killer good.
I like marinara.
So, marinara. Now, one of my favorite scenes is when they go to the video store.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the Blockbuster. I used to work at a local store called Video Time back in Ohio, Blockbuster, and then another place called The Record Exchange. I've worked at a ton of video stores.
You worked
stores,
at all three of those?
All three of those places, yeah. And Video Time had an adult section, which had some interesting interactions, but I'll get into that another day.
Deep dish orgy.
Deep dish orgy. Anyway, so they go in the movie store, and he's like, where's your Schwarzenegger films? And the clerk's like, oh, our foreign films are in the bag. Not foreign, action films! Mm-hmm. And then you see Terminator 2, and it pans up, and it's Stallone.
Yep.
And I just think that that's... I'm interested to see if Stallone joined Terminator, what would happen.
I would like to see Stallone do Shakespeare.
I would like to see Stallone do Shakespeare.
It's also funny like that Stallone was participating in this joke because they had to have asked him, right?
Oh,
I
yeah.
hope. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Or at least he knew about it. Because it's basically like you're the shitty Schwarzenegger, basically. Like you're the Schwarzenegger
is
backup.
I think it was more like a friendly rivalry between the two of them.
Yeah, I know, but like that specific
oh,
thing
that
is
specific
like
joke,
if Schwarzenegger weren't here, then you would have gotten this
part.
Yeah,
I could see that.
You know what I mean?
And I think that they actually had I saw the Expendables panel years ago at Comic-Con, and Arnold and Stallone were comparing body counts in their movies, and it was hilarious how they both knew, like, yeah, well, I killed 372. Yeah, well, I killed, 450, you know? It's just like...
And then Channing Tatum was there, and he was like,
man
I killed four.
That's not good. That was before 21 Jump Street. The jury's still out on how many were killed there. And then he does...
I was just talking about Step Up.
Oh, yeah. He killed that dance floor. I love that they call out how action movies never have normal-looking women.
Yeah.
How every woman is in, like, weird, like I said, Stanley Kubrick leather space odyssey stuff. None of that fits a Stanley Kubrick movie, by the way.
That's okay.
Doesn't make sense.
That's okay.
And how every movie ever, even till nowadays, has the 555 number.
Yeah.
Just in case. Because I think, I imagine... At one point, or it's like that song 8675309. Whoever has that number had to have changed that number by now, right?
Yeah, because yeah. And that song doesn't even have an area code.
It doesn't.
So that, just, like across the board,
just
you can't have
well,
that.
Yeah, but you know, everybody in I tried it back in Ohio. It was like 330-864-4867-5309.
Yeah,
and I think it got somebody.
This is actually not a joke, but my freshman year in college, my dorm landline. We had 5-digit extensions.
867?
No. We had 5-digit extensions if you're calling within the university, and mine was 06969. And I got a prank call just about every day.
Oh, that's the fucking worst.
Yeah,
that's the worst. 5555555. So they now. Okay. So they figure out. Danny's like, I'll show you exactly the house it was. I know. I can point it out. And can we play clip number 4? This is him pointing it out from seeing it in the beginning of the movie.
The bad guys are in there.
You know something? I think you should be wearing this.
I don't think I've earned it yet.
I love that earnest.
You don't understand.
You just solved the entire case. You just revolutionized the entire history of police training. I mean, all these years at the academy, studying human character, psyche of the terrorist, fingerprint analysis, all the courses that I've taken in surveillance, hostage negotiation, in criminal psychology. I mean, all I had to do is just drive around the neighborhood and point my finger at the house and say, the bad guys ain't there.
You think you're funny, don't you?
I know I am. I'm the famous comedian, Arnold Braunschweiger.
I'm the famous comedian. Anyway, I laughed at that. He goes, Schwarzenegger. And he goes, Gesundheit. Gesundheit. It's so funny. I'm the famous comedian, Arnold Braunschweiger.
He says it wrong a couple of times, and it's funny every time.
What sucks, though, is that this movie tanked. And I was reading on IMDb that Arnold considers this like his first and one of his only like major failures of his early career. And this movie didn't get the love it got. I forget. I got some other things. There was, listen to the merchandising. The merchandising people came up with some Jack Slater action figures with guns, but Arnold vetoed the idea since it was a warmer and more cuddly action film, so he had a stick of dynamite instead. I have that action figure still, actually, at my place currently. I should have brought it in. Fuck, ooh. I'm an idiot. It had 7 video games. I own one on Sega Genesis. A $20 million Burger King promotion, a $36 million theme park ride, NASA's first paid ad in space, as well as a 4-story inflatable Jack Slater at Cannes. And Schwarzenegger gave up 40 television interviews and 54 print interviews in 24 hours, setting a new personal record. Let me repeat that. He gave 40 television interviews and 54 print interviews in 24 hours. That's somebody who wanted this movie to fucking take off, man.
Jesus Christ.
That's a bummer. He did so much for this.
I want to know how many interviews he did total. If he was like, I'm only doing them in 24 hours.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. He's like, I only have 24 hours. Yeah. Cram them all in. Oh, man. That's some dedication. That's nuts. I honestly, I still to this day, I think it ages really well. I think it's really funny. There's some heart to it with like the mom where she says, you think I wanted to be a widower by 40? Like there's some cool stuff with him and his mom. There's even some good heart between Jack and his daughter and his son who passed away and how like Danny sort of starts to kind of fill that void. Mm-hmm. So they have some. So the thing for me with spoofs that always works better is when they take two things. When they actually love the genre or the movie that they're spoofing, yeah. And it's more of a respectful send-up.
It's like an ode.
An ode to it. And when they take it seriously, when they do ridiculous things with a straight face. Like, this movie's pretty deadpan for the most part. Like, even Benedict, played by Charles Dance, a.k.a. Tywin Lannister, mm-hmm. in this next scene where the line that we'll play that in a second, but he has these dogs out there that are snarling, and he snaps his fingers, and the dogs form a dog pyramid, and it's stupid as hell, but his face is still playing it like he's a real bad guy, and like he plays it just like anybody and any other. Like Alan Rickman was actually supposed to be in this, and but he was too expensive, so Charles Dance,
and he couldn't give that many interviews in a 24-hour period.
So Charles Dance wore a t-shirt saying less expensive to Alan Rickman.
Less expensive.
So that was awesome.
In the blockbuster that they went to, Alan Rickman was actually playing this part in the movies that they were...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he was the Charles Dance character. Yeah. Can we play clip number 5? This is when Arnold goes to Benedict's house.
May I help you?
Yes. Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
Mm-hmm. I beg your pardon?
It's a beautiful day and we're out killing drug dealers. Are there any in the house?
You know, I don't mean to spoil anybody who hasn't finished Netflix's Narcos.
I thought you were going to say 13 Reasons Why.
About Escobar. But eventually, they had tried to catch him forever. Mm-hmm. They had him in his own prison that he personally created and basically was a luxury place for him away from all police presence. And finally, all they had to do was go up to his front door and knock and say this.
May I help you?
Yes. Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
He came to the door. Button.
It's a beautiful day, and we're out killing drug dealers. Are there any in the house?
And by that time, his ego was so big that he thought, yeah, right, nobody can do it. And then the guy just shot him.
They just did it.
That was the end.
They just did it.
I don't think the guy made it off the premises alive, but...
No.
True story. It's the final episode of Narcos Season 2. True story. I haven't finished that season, but I read a spoiler.
But
that's
definitely
the end of it,
that's definitely how it ends.
It's definitely.
I watched the last bit. Yeah. I haven't watched episodes 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, I read the spoiler, which is called the true story.
Right.
You know,
I watched the true Hollywood story of the series Narcos.
I love that they mock how often he says "I'll be back" when he's like "I'll be back." He didn't know I was going to say that, and he goes, "Yeah, that's kind of your thing. You shoehorn it in everything." Because I remember after I saw Terminator 2. I snuck any Arnold movie I could without my parents knowing as a kid. And it's amazing how many of his movies back then say, "I'll be back." In fact, if any of our fans out there can tell us, I'm sure we could just Google it right now, but we're lazy. you tell us exactly how many movies has Arnold said, "I'll be back" in that were not Terminator films. That's what I'd love to know.
Challenge.
We will give you absolutely nothing except a heart on Twitter and a thumbs up. You'll get our respect.
And is it more or fewer than the number of people Channing Tatum has killed in movies?
Exactly. Exactly. And Step Up, too,
and
specifically.
Step Up, yeah.
Or Step Up. He wasn't in the second one.
He was, but it was very, very brief.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We find out that Jack's son was killed by the Ripper. Kind of sad and fucked up, actually. Pretty dark. We meet his daughter in that awesome scene where you think she's the damsel in distress in the background getting beat up.
Yeah.
And she's like, and she's getting slapped around. Then she kicks the guy in the nuts, and it must be a genetic thing.
2 acres.
Like, she gives him 2 acres, too. She gives him a couple acres into the dresser, stomps on him. It's fucking awesome.
But the whole time she's screaming like she's still in distress.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The only complaint I have about this movie is that I wish she came back in the end. Because they have her here, and then they have her again when she brings him stuff when he falls in the tar pits. And I wish that she came back in the end. I wish she came out of the movies, too, or something.
Well, they like, had enough awareness of themselves to, like, put her in there and know that he needed some sort of, like, motivation, some sort of, like, familial sidekick, but not enough self-awareness to realize that how marginalized the women characters are in action films. Yeah. And so they, like, didn't bother bringing her back. They were just like, whatever. She's done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I love the fact that she kisses Danny in the beginning, and she's waiting for a freshman boy named Skeezy. not with an IE, with a Y.
Yeah.
He makes that abundantly clear to the cops.
He sure does.
If your birth name is Skeezy, I would highly recommend changing it.
Or going by your middle name.
Go by your middle name.
Yeah.
Unless it's Skeezy Deezy. I couldn't think of anything.
I mean, you could. Obviously, you could, because you came up with Skeezy Deezy. So,
I feel like the sleep deprivation is making this show really interesting. Anyway, so, long story short, the house, Benedict comes in, he's like, "How did you know?" And I love when he's like, you heard a hair on her head. And I've always wanted a bad guy to do this in a movie.
Yeah.
Because the good guy always says, if you harm one hair on her head. And I love that in this, he goes, "Wait!" And he walks over, plucks a hair, brings it over to him, and then, bink, he was saying. And I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
I wanted that to happen
in
like every action movie ever when that's said. And he does it. That's where this movie, like we said, movies like Machete sometimes get a little too goofy. This still remains badass, even in its goofiness. Like, that was a badass villain moment to me.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And it's like something that, like, asserts the villain's power and authority in the moment, like, in addition to also being sort of goofy and fun.
Yep. And then Jack Slater arrives via the skylight.
Mm-hmm.
And he says something like, something, I don't know. And he grabs the machine guns, blasts the two guys, then jumps, and the guy falls in a chair, and the other guy is over here. And I love that his idea is to rip the socket out of the wire loose, electrocute the guy's hand to make him shoot the other dude. Awesome.
Strong choice.
Awesomeness.
Strong choice.
Awesomeness. And then Benedict escapes in his car, and the fact that they spoof even good guys, like how far they're able to jump without hurting themselves, how at first they show this is a great example of how they juxtapose badass with goofy right next to each other. They first show this wide shot of Jack Slater jumping in slow motion, looking like he's jumping down 3 stories. Looks awesome. Next shot, he lands like on a hand plant, standing, I don't know gymnastic terms, but he's like doing a full-on handstand. He flips around and does like one of these, and then he just does all these amazing gymnastic moves to kind of undercut the badassness of the last thing.
The only thing that would have made it better is if there were judges standing right there, and they had held up numbers. for his form.
Oh, God.
Which was spot on. He would have gotten tens.
So then Danny's riding his bike. He's like, I got this. I'm a good guy. Nobody can, I can't die. It's going to be okay. And then he realizes this. Can we play clip number 6 as he's playing chicken with a car and he's on a pink girl's bike?
I'm a comedy psychic. Oh, shit. I'm a comedy psychic. It's not going to work.
He launches in the air. We get a spoof of E.T. right there as he goes in front of the 80s moon. Which only 80s movies had moons that large.
Well, that was before global warming.
Yeah, we were closer to the moon in the 80s. Actually, in Fun, not to pimp out our own movie, but in Funhouse Massacre, if you look, fans who've seen it and fans who haven't, you're not a fan yet, I guess. Anyways, but there's a shot of the sheriff's station, and the director specifically had our VFX guy put a giant 80s moon in there because we wanted it to have that kind of that feel.
That's, by the way, that is my favorite moon made specifically for the Funhouse Massacre.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So then Benedict goes in. I love that when he finds the ticket, the Twilight Zone happens to be playing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else? Oh, when... it's hard for me to talk about movies that I love so much because I can't make fun of them. I just love them.
That's okay.
But it's okay. There's nothing to make fun of in this movie. It's amazing when the body bag's being pulled out of his house and he's like, wait. And he pulls out a cigar from the dead body bag and starts smoking it again.
Which is great because I sort of was concerned in the very beginning, the first scene, he like snuffs his cigar out with his foot.
And you don't like littering.
Well, I don't like littering, but also, like, that's what you do with cigarettes. You don't do that to a cigar. You save your cigar.
Yeah.
You put it out and you keep it.
And he saved it this time around.
This time around,
he
saved it.
He made up for it.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, all blown like that. Like,
yeah.
Like the zombies in The Last of Us, how their faces go. You're like, yeah.
I don't know that reference.
That, the Demogorgon and Stranger Things.
Yeah, no, I know that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Okay, that second season trailer. By the way, have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen the trailer
yet. Fuck, are you
kidding? You seen it at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
They've released it online.
Yeah.
Stop everything you're doing and watch the Stranger Things 2 trailer.
See, the thing is, with the Stranger Things 2 trailer, I don't want grainy YouTube.
Oh, no. They released it legitimately.
All right, no, but I'm saying I have to find a good feed.
Oh, it's incredible.
All right.
I've seen it 7 times. All right, so they go back to the chief station. Can we play the chief rant? Because this, before he's yelling at him, and this has escalated, he's yelled at him so much that it's actual gibberish with a few things like listen specifically for the Diary of Anne Frank and I believe something else. We'll find out.
You slip the bell on a cock like a toes like a tape from you. I got the California Razor Cuts and doing all me a friend of the Diary of Anne Frank, doing all me a friend in my friend's cinema. Tiny Timber stepped on to the toilet.
The one
you ball peen Jacobinus. I'll slip the bell on a cock like a toes like a tape from you. You know, you kick the man in the mad right push. You're ready to get in the business. You're down the beach. You're down the beach. You know, you take the chicken on the back. Well, see if this is clear enough. Give me your badge. And this time you won't get it back.
It's so good. I want to play that again because there's definitely Tiny Tim. It's definitely California Raisins. There's Diary of Anne Frank. There's Toto. Let's see what else we can hear this time.
You slipped the bell on a cock like a toes like a take from you. I got the California Razor Cuts doing all me a bunch of the Diary of Anne Frank doing all me a bunch of in my friend's cinema. Tiny Tim stepped on to the toilet.
The one
you ball peen Jacobinus. I'll slip the bell on a cock like a toes like a take from you. You know, you kick the man in the mad right push. You know, you're in the business. Down the beach, you go down the beach. You know, you take the chicken off the back. I think someone is English. Well, see if this is clear enough.
The best...
Give me your back.
The best is the close-up.
And this time, you won't get it. Because
it starts off as just on his back, and then the close-up where he's literally, clearly just going, It reminds me of when Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern are fake swearing in Home Alone, like the riggin', the Diary. You got the California Raisins through the Diary of Anne Frank with little Tiny Tim and the Toto.
This one felt like a preemptive spoof of the police chief in Bad Boys. And Bad Boys 2, who has the woosah thing,
because Bad Boys 2 is just a spoof of itself, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit, I love that so much. This is where the black and white digitization of Humphrey Bogart comes in. They lose their badges. We go home to his apartment. I love that there's so much specific detail in this to what they spoof. They spoof down to the minutia of action movies. Like, when they're like, here's my home, and there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
Like, every action star, every Jason Bourne, everything, they never have anything. This is literally an empty apartment, except his closet, which he turns and shoots 3 times, and a bad guy with, like, a ski mask, a rope, and a knife, and a gun comes falling out. And then all he has in his closet are multiples of his same outfit and boots. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, they do it. They actually do this a couple times when he's like, there's a gun in the glove compartment. And then Danny opens the glove compartment and just like 20 guns yeah. fall out.
Or the Ripper in the beginning when he's like, come on, Jack, you're only holding one gun. And he like pulls out like seven.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh, my God. Then they realize that the funeral of Leo Defart is going to be a nerve gas bomb that's going to kill the mob. And then the main guy is going to be the head mob guy now. So they go there. And Danny's supposed to stay in the car. He comes, and Salieri, a.k.a. F. Murray Abraham, who killed Mozart, is he tricks Jack, gets him by gunpoint, chains him and Jack and Danny to the pole, only to be saved at the last minute by Whiskers. The cartoon cat always saved the deus ex machina of this.
Always.
You know, he always saves the day. And I love that when he goes to the funeral, this is another thing they spoof that action movies do, where good guys will change a small thing about them and no one notices. Like, he goes in there full Jack Slater outfit but puts on a baseball cap, and suddenly none of the mob notices.
Yeah.
He runs up to the corpse because he realizes he has to get it out of there or everyone's dead. And can we play clip number 8? This is him pretending the body has come back to life and he's going to get it out of there.
You hear this?
Help me! Get me out of here!
My God! This man's not dead!
And then everyone at the funeral that's in the mob just, like, starts pulling out guns.
It's so good.
It's perfect.
Well, almost. Before, they all buy into it, because that voice...
Right, right, right.
Let's play that voice again. It's very convincing. I don't know what Leo Defart sounds like.
He just sounds like, just like this.
Just like I don't know what Jared Kushner sounds like, either. But it could vary. It could sound like this, or it could not. I totally stole that from John Oliver.
Help me!
That sounds like a Leo Defart, Jared Kushner, to me.
When I looked at the physical Leo Defart, I imagined a voice that was...
You hear this?
Help me!
Just like that.
Get me out of here!
Like, that fits.
That's how sometimes I feel when my improv jokes are going bad on this show.
Yeah.
I just want, I just want to scream out loud.
Help me! Get me out of here!
I just want to say that out loud.
From now on, that's our red button.
You know, I still have the sound clip "Go away, Baton" on my phone because I can't bring myself to delete it. It's I just play it every once in a while and it just makes me smile. Go away, Baton. Anyway, so
it works practically.
So I love that the crowd believes him. He's running through the crowd. He's like, "Dude, is there a doctor? I'm a doctor. You're a doctor." Check his chin. Clocks him in the face, and that's when everybody's like, "There's something nefarious going on." And I love the specific how they go to several old women with massive guns.
Yeah.
Like, old women in wheelchairs, old women with canes, and they're like... It's so awesome.
Yeah.
And then, this is another example of a great action sequence, where he tosses Leo Defart to the crane that Danny's controlling, and then he runs along as there's all these practical squibs going off and things exploding everywhere. He jumps on an elevator, crashes through there. The dudes show up. There's a helicopter shootout with the guys, and then he makes the helicopter crash... And the elevator falls out, and he just narrowly catches Leo Defart and falls into the La Brea tar pits, which I actually was watching to see when they cut from the real La Brea tar pits. And because I was like, how did they do this? And I'm like, oh, when they actually fell in, it's completely a set. But they do a good job of making it look pretty practical and real to the actual La Brea tar pits.
Yeah, and here's another point where I'm going to nitpick. Yeah. I don't know that there's a huge building around the La Brea tar pits. I think it's pretty... It's pretty clear space.
Yeah, I mean, but this is the 90s. Maybe they've remodeled and changed.
That's possible.
And it is a movie. A movie in a movie.
Yeah, so it was a La Brea Tar Pits set.
Yeah. Exactly.
Paying homage to the actual La Brea Tar Pits that have no tall buildings around them. It's just a field.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah,
but that's another moment. That's another fun moment when he, like... emerges from the tar pits and then like just wipes his hand over his face and there's no more tar on his face.
Let me tell you,
it's like spotless.
When my daughter eats 8 green beans this morning, little mashed up green beans, it was harder for me to wipe off the green beans from her face than it is for Jack Slater to wipe off tar from his face.
It was great because he wipes it off his face and then Danny says something like, you know, some people stick to tar. Yeah.
And then
we cut back to him and like his clothes are clean. Like, what the fuck?
It's so good. It's so good. That happens all the time. The only thing I think they could have spoofed also, Well, they do actually in the end when he gets shot in real world yeah. and he's dying and he comes back and they're like,
flesh wound.
I wouldn't even call this a flesh wound. Because that's the thing in action movies where it's like, I remember Three Kings did a good job of actually explaining what happens and showing the internal damage, literally showing like an x-ray internal damage of what bullets do to people. Uh-huh. Because in action movies, how many times is it like, oh, I got shot in the stomach, and next scene they just have like a cast on and they're being, right. you know, the mayor is giving them a medal or whatever, and it's like, you'd still be in the hospital for weeks after that.
Yeah, I've never been shot, but I feel like I wouldn't recover.
I really hope I never.
Yeah.
That's like a bucket list thing that's not on my bucket
list. It's like an anti-bucket
list. It's an anti-bucket list. If there's something that, we should make an anti-bucket list. Like, what can I do? What list do I have that I never want to have happen?
Never.
I never want to die at all.
Yeah.
So can we just throw that on
the list?
So on my bucket list would be discover a cyborg technology that can keep my brain alive.
Yep.
Because if it's just my consciousness,
So it's going hand in hand. You're pairing up your bucket and non-bucket list, and you're hoping that they work together.
Exactly.
That's practical.
To stop the anti-bucket list from happening. Anyways.
We need a better name than anti-bucket
list. This is the best. So then Benedict's just chilling in his living room, and Arnold launches the big wheel. Not big wheels. Big wheels is a tiny car, but launches the huge truck, monster truck, into his living room.
Mm-hmm.
And he throws Benedict through the wall, and now they're in the real world, where Arnold Braunschweiger realizes that if he punches a window, it hurts. If he gets hit by a car, it hurts. He's starting to realize he's not immortal anymore. And Benedict, I thought it was an interesting twist how Benedict realizes in this world, bad guys can win. And he relishes in that. Can we play clip number 9?
I've just shot somebody. I did it on purpose. I said I have murdered a man, and I want to confess.
You know what's crazy? That's not that far off from real life, because there's a few months ago, before 4th of July, so fireworks shouldn't be going on.
It was 3rd of July and prior.
It was like May-ish.
Okay.
I remember Renee and I were trying to go to sleep, and we heard these two pops go off, and our dog started barking, and I went outside, and I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, that didn't sound like a firework. And I called the cops, and they're just like, oh, we didn't get any other complaints about that in the area. And I'm like, yeah, but...
But here's one.
But here's one. And they're like, it's probably just fireworks. And I'm like, what if it isn't?
You want to check?
They're like, well, I mean, we could send a police cruiser by, but what are they going to look for? And I'm like,
dead people.
Something? Yeah. It was just the weirdest.
I don't know.
That's happened.
That's your job.
The few times I've called the cops in L.A., it's always like that. I remember there's another time where these guys got out of a car back when I used to live in Hollywood, and they had bats, and they went into a house
to play baseball.
Yeah, 2 a.m. when I was getting off work.
Yeah.
And I called the cops, and they called me back, and they were like, which side of Willoughby was it on, the north or the south? Because if it was on the north, you have to call the LAPD. And I was like, what? And they're like, if it's on the south, you got to call the West Hollywood PD. I'm like, well, they're dead now, because you took 40 minutes to call me back and ask this.
I guess
this.
Don't worry about it.
Jesus. Anyways.
Or they're looking for 7 more.
So as silly as this scene seems with Benedict, it's a very realistic representation of the lack of police presence in certain areas.
Well, and also just like citizen
That's not a
concern.
Slam on cops, by the way. It's a slam on dispatch.
Yeah, there you
who's
go.
Who's not taking shit seriously.
That's exactly right.
Because cops do their job, but the dispatch...
Because all the cops were occupied with other crimes that they were very concerned about and taking very seriously.
Exactly.
But it's also it's also a commentary on like citizen concern also, and like sort of to a much lesser degree than you're talking about, but like when a car alarm goes off
and everybody's like
and everyone's like, fucking turn that thing off. It's like, okay, maybe, but also someone might be breaking into that car.
Yeah.
But no one's ever been like, let me make sure no one's breaking into that car.
Nope.
Not a single person has ever done
except
that.
Except me.
Have you really?
In our own garage, I'll hear something go off, because we've had car break-ins in our garage, so I'd run down there like, I'm going to get you this time! I don't know what I would do if I came face-to-face with somebody. I'd probably just be like, ah! And run back in and shut the door and hope they don't come through.
You should definitely bring a bat with you, because apparently you can run places with bats and
No one will respond.
Yeah.
We got to hurry this. When do you got to get out of here, Jesse?
What time is it right now? Soon.
Like soon? All right, we'll try to wrap this up.
Pretty soon.
So Jack is getting pissed off because he's in the real world and he's getting injured, and Benedict disappears in the back of a cab. Can we play clip number 10? This is his peak of anxiety.
I've seen those movies where they say, make my day, or I'm your worst nightmare. Well, listen to this one. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Ha! You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
That's might be my favorite Arnold line ever.
How could you know he was going to say that?
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. I don't think anyone's ever said rubber baby buggy bumpers until this moment.
No, except Shakespeare. I think Shakespeare had that.
Shakespeare, yeah. It was in Hamlet.
Yeah.
It was in Hamlet.
Yeah, famous line.
To be or not to be, rubber baby buggy bumpers. So, well, I will skip ahead a little bit because I love at the premiere how many cameos they have. They have a Little Richard cameo where he looks just like he's on multiple drugs. They're planning to assassinate Arnold Schwarzenegger to make sure that there's no more Jack Slater, which, if I'm thinking of logic, though, there won't be any more movies, so they won't exist either. And it won't negate him from the world that's already been created. So, you know, he's a bad guy that's figuring this out.
So, yeah, the logic gets really, really iffy once they come back
Noonan,
into the real world.
That's the Ripper.
There you go.
It does. It gets a little iffy.
Like, the whole logic of, like, it's fun when the bad guy realizes, like, bad guys can win here. But then beyond that, what his end game is like
bringing out Dracula. Yeah, Dracula.
Just like a little bit unclear as to what he's doing.
I think he just wants to win.
But they like never assemble. He never creates a squad.
How awesome would that have been? Like if this movie had if they had Frankenstein, Dracula, like all these monsters come out at the end.
Yeah.
Because Death comes out. Ian McKellen plays Death.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he's like, "You're not on my list." He's very much like Magneto in this movie. Best Ian McKellen impression ever, by the way.
You nailed it.
You shan't know. You should have killed me when you had the chance, Charles. Chevy Chase makes a cameo. Damon Wayans, Van Damme.
Yep.
MC Hammer apparently is going to do the Jack Slater 5 soundtrack.
It's the deal's locked.
And I love when Arnold's, the real Arnold, not Jack, is being like, "We kill a lot of less people in this movie. In the last one, we killed 139. In this one, we killed only 52. We focus more on character."
Yeah.
It's just so awesome because that's what like action stars say about their movies. The Ripper shows up in full costume and they think it's Tom Noonan. And they're like, "Oh, hey, what are you going to do here?" And he's like, "Oh, I figured I might kill someone."
That exchange was so great. I think that might have been my favorite part of the whole movie. When he's just like awkwardly shifting and like, "I think I'm going to kill someone."
He looked kind of how awkward certain celebrities look on the red carpet.
And then who was interviewing? Was that Chris Connolly?
Yeah.
Where he's like, you should start with your stylist. And it's like such a perfect like meet awkwardness with I'm going to do the best I can here.
Yeah. So good. So we'll speed through this a little bit because then the big thing is that the big plan, I guess, for Benedict was that the Ripper was going to throw a giant axe down onto Arnold. And no one in the theater notices until Jack stands up with the gun. But ironically, he gets tackled by Arnold. And then he's like, "Hey, you should have told me that there was a stunt going to happen." And he's like, "I don't like you. You've caused me nothing but pain." I was going to grab that clip, but I had 21 sound clips and I had
to pare
it down.
That's too many.
So then they're fighting on the roof. Jack has Danny this time, just like his son. So you got kind of like this cool standoff that has a little bit of heart and drama to it, that has stakes. It's very rare that a parody has stakes. This movie does. And Danny gets thrown over. Jack chops the thing, and then the electricity hits the rain, and this is where it gets a little, like, I don't know if in reality that would happen, some of the things that happen in this final act.
In the reality portion of the
movie? They kind of still bend reality a little bit.
Yes.
Which I wish they would have stuck just super only what can happen in reality in the end.
Yeah, because you can still do cool things in reality.
Like when he flings Danny all the way back up perfectly under the roof, I was like, that's a little too much like Jack Slater.
Right.
But whatever. Right. That's me nitpicking like 5 minutes of an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So the Ripper gets electrocuted, and can we play his awesome villain line, clip number 11? So good. I would watch a Last Action Hero Part 2 where they do fully assemble a squad.
Yeah. That's what I thought was happening. It didn't.
Well, actually, clip number 12 made you think this. Can we play that?
"Gentlemen, since you're about to die anyway, I may as well tell you the entire plot. Think of villains, Jack. You want Dracula? Dracula? Hang on. I'll fetch him. Dracula? I can get King Kong."
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
"I'm a surprise party for that old Hitler. Hannibal Lecter can do the catering. And then we'll all have a christening for Rosemary's baby."
It's interesting that they threw Adolf Hitler in there.
"All I have to do is snap my fingers and they'll be here. They're lining up to get here. And do you know why, Jack? Should I tell you why? Because here, in this world, the bad guys can win.
His performance stands the test of time. He's an awesome villain in this movie.
It's very cool.
He's still one of my favorite villains in an action movie, and I love how he hams it up, but in a really fun way.
I did.
It is interesting that they throw in Adolf Hitler because he's the only one
movie character.
Not a fictional character.
He's real.
He's real.
But it's also interesting that none of these movies were current, so I just don't know how he was going into them, because they went into the movie theater screen.
Yeah.
Did he have to rent all of these movies?
And you just have to hold a projector hostage until they played all these movies for him.
I was curious.
And how does he know about them? Did they play in the... Yeah, they played in the movie world. They had a blockbuster in the movie world.
He must love Stallone.
Can he go into movies within a movie?
Inception?
That's what the sequel needs to do.
Meets
the
Last Action Hero?
Inception meets Last Action Hero. Go within a movie to a movie until you reach Limbo. And then you can have just a whole other movie in Limbo. Christopher Nolan, team up with Arnold and make this happen. We're going to play what's that? Let's wrap up. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, we're going to play Arnold's line to Benedict where he shoots him in his exploding eye and blows up his entire body right here. Clip number 13.
No sequel for you.
Yes! And we're gonna end on this last sound clip where Jack goes back into the movie. Basically, he's mortally wounded in real life. They remember that there's the other ticket in the ticket box because Death, a.k.a. Magneto, tells him. They get him back in the movie. He's dying. The cops all rush over, and the guy goes, it's not even a flesh wound. And then the chief's yelling at him. Can we play clip number 14?
Put a sock in it. I don't care who does what to your Hershey Highway. And stop shouting. I'm not deaf. You know why you're shouting? Because it's in the script. You're the comic relief. Yes. And you know what else? I am the hero. So shut up!
So good! I wanted that to happen in all these action movies to the chief. It's like, fuck you! I solved the case!
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to play big guns while we go out. But this has been a blast. I love this movie so much. I could watch this 100 more times. If you haven't seen this movie, watch it. Let us know what you think of it now. And if you have seen it, have you watched it recently? Does it age well for you? Is this a guilty movie pleasure? I think it's just a pleasure.
I think it's a pleasure.
I think it's just a pleasure. That's my vote this week.
A joyous time watching
it. Let us know what movies you'd like to see in the coming weeks. We're taking your suggestions. Somebody suggested Super Mario Brothers, which I would be down for. That is definitely guilty.
That's not bad.
Jesse, where can they find you next?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse for a sketch at The Prom Losers. We have a show at the Nerd Melt Theater this Sunday, 9 p.m. Check it out.
I'm at The Ben Begley on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find us at Guilty Movie Guys, where we talk all kinds of guilty movie awesomeness. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners and principals.